Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi wa namaduhu, nasta'inuhu, nastaghfiruhu, wa nu'minu bihi wa nastaghfiruhu. Na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu. نشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, compassionate and merciful, truly praise is due to Allah alone. We praise Him and we seek His help and we seek His forgiveness and we put our trust in Him and we seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our own selves and our wrong actions. Whoever Allah guides, no one can guide and lead him astray. And whoever he leads astray, there is no one to guide. And we bear witness that there is no deity except Allah, one without a partner. And we bear witness that Muhammad is his worshipper, his messenger, blessings of Allah and peace be upon him, his family, and his companions. Kallallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala fi kitabil mumin. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqoo billahi haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Ya ayyuhan nas taqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahidatin wa khalaqa minha zawjaha basa minhuma rijalan katiran wa nisaa wa taqu lillahi alladhi tasaaluna bihi wal arham inna allaha kana alaykum raqiba. Allah, praise be to Him, Most High, said in His clear book, O you who have attained to faith, fear Allah as you should be, fear and do not die, save the viewers Muslims. And, O people, fear your Lord that created you from oneself and made from it its mate and from the twain spread out a multitude of men and women. Fear Allah in your claim over one another and toward the wombs from which you have come. Truly Allah is the watcher over you. Alhamdulillahi alladhi ja'ala yawm al-jum'ati sayyid al-ayyami wa na'budu wa nasta'inu wa la ilaha wa huwa alladhi faraja al-salata wa al-jum'ati bi al-qawli ta'Allah. Praise be to Allah who made this day of congregation to be the best of days. We do not worship Him, we do not seek aid other than from He who made the congregation of worship obligatory to us and witness in the saying of the Most High, إِيَّا وَهُوَ الَّذِي فَرَدَ صَلَاةَ لِجِمَاتِ بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَلَّهِ يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ أَمْرُوا إِذَّا نُدْيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمَاتِ فَصُوْ إِلَّا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَهْرِ الْبَيْتِ. O you who have attained to faith, if you hear the call for the salat on the day of congregation, make haste to the remembrance of Allah and leave your trading. المؤمنون المخلصون هم الذين آمنوا وتتأمنوا أنه قلوبكم بذكر الله الله بذكر الله تتمنى أنه القلوب. Sincere believers are those who have believed and whose hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah, and for truly in the remembrance of Allah the hearts find rest. Again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to us in the Holy Quran. He revealed to us in the subject of today's khutbah, which is kasha'a or tada'a. Humility before us. He uses tada'a and kasha'a both for humility in Quran. And this example is the Balakhada. أَلْصَانُ إِلَّا أُمَانِ مِنْ تَبَالِكَ فَأَخْذَنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَسَاءِ وَالْدَهْرَاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَرُونَ. And we have sent messengers to nations before you and gripped them with misfortune and hardship so that they might humble themselves. And again, that was in Surah Al-Anam, and in Surah Al-Araf, Allah says, وَذَا رَبْكُمْ تَدَارُ أَنْ كُفْيَا إِنَّهُ لَيُهِبُّ الْمُتَدِينَ وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا وَدَعْهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. It says, call upon your Lord humbly and secretly. Truly he does not love the transgressors. Do not pollute the earth after it has been set wholesome in order, and do not call upon him in fear and hope. And call upon him in fear and hope. Surely mercy of Allah is near to those who excel in goodness. And then again, in using the other term, he tells us in Surah Mukminun, in the very beginning of Surah Mukminun, says, "Qada aflaha fil mukminun alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un." Successful are the believers, those who are humble in their salat, and then he goes on and says, in their idle talk, and who pays their zakat. And then finally, in the other quote, one of the other quotations I want to give you, the Quran to show you Pasha'a, is how it's used. It says, Alam yani ladina amanu wa taqsha'a, qulubuhum bi zikri lillahi bin azimda'a wa mina al-haq, wa yakunu kalladina utu kitaba min qabalu wa ta'ala ala alayhimu al-amdu fa kasa qulubuhum. Is it not time for the hearts that could truly believe to yield themselves to the remembrance of Allah and the truth that He has sent down, that they not be like those who before them revealed the book, but whose hearts were hardened by the passing of time, and many were corrupt and wrongdoers? Beautiful spring day and summer again, alhamdulillah. And I want to speak today about humility and the way the Quran speaks of it, and Tasha. Allah also says in other quotations in the Quran, the humble people walk upon the earth, the faithful servants of the beneficent are those who walk upon the earth modestly, and when foolish ones address them, they answer, Salam, peace. And there's a long hadith, as you know, where it describes that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him are hard against those disbelievers and merciful among themselves. You, O Muhammad, see them bowing. I'm sorry, I said it's a hadith, it's in the Quran, but it's addressed to the Prophet Muhammad. You, O Muhammad, see them bowing and falling prostrate in worship, seeking bounty from Allah and His acceptance. The mark of them is on their foreheads from traces of prostration, such as their likeness in the Torah and their likeness in the Gospel, like a sown corn that sends forth its shoot and strengthens it and rises firm upon its stalk, delighting those who sow it, that He may enrage the disbelievers in the sight of them. Allah has promised unto them a belief and do good work, forgiveness and immense reward. One of the realities of our life, one of the capabilities that we have, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planted within us, is the capability to be humble and to be modest. Tawadu, humility is the opposite, obviously, of arrogance. It's the opposite of pride. And it should be seen as one's awareness of one's own true position before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then one has to allow the realization of one's place in this universe, one's place in face of consummate compassion, consummate mercy, consummate peace, consummate tolerance, consummate love. And then seeing that, being humbled by that, we should guide our conduct toward those attributes, or in short speak, toward Allah. And guide our conduct toward people who are similar, or who have those qualities. said that, you know, that when it's across the threshold of that doorway, or to become like a mat spread on the pavement for people to worship, or so that if one can sincerely confess that everyone seems to be much better than I am myself, everyone is the wheat and I'm the chaff, then the inhabitants of paradise will kiss that one on their head. In the narration that's attributed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is stated, whoever is humble, Allah exalts him, and whoever is haughty, Allah humiliates him, we get a very clear idea of the value of humility. But our greatness is somehow inversely proportionate to behaving as though one were great and important, just as one's true smallness is inversely proportionate to believing it. To behaving as though one was small. Humility is, I think, defined in many ways. Seeing oneself as having no virtues, or treating others with respect, or seeing oneself as the worst of all humanity is one aspect of humanity, and it's a means of practicing humility, but it's a means of practicing humility. But another way is to be aware of oneself, to be aware of one's nafs amara, be aware of one's faults, aware of one's weaknesses, and striving within one's own self to change them. Humility doesn't have to be always seen by other people. Humility has to be felt by your own self. And sometimes no one can see what you're struggling with. No one can see the effort that you are making. And that in itself is a correlative to humility, because if you're striving very hard not to be arrogant, striving very hard to be tolerant, to develop good virtuous behavior, and others don't see it, well, then it gives you an extra impetus. So you don't become arrogant, and you don't become angry and frustrated at the fact that your efforts aren't being recognized. Just being alert to the nafs amara and striving to suppress it is enough of a task for any one human being. Whatever the definition of humility is, and we've seen a number of them in the quotations of the Quran that are given the ayat, every definition only expresses one side, one dimension of humility. And the last of the nafs, last of the ego, relates to those people who really, really are sincere. Not because they necessarily overcome every aspect of their nafs amara, but that their sincerity is counted by Allah. And indeed, such individuals, and hopefully we all are to some degree those kind of individuals, we never give up thinking that there's more for us to do, less arrogance to have, more confidence in Allah, and less belief that we ourselves are in total control and total humility. In other words, those who consciously engage in remembrance and dhikr Allah are those who consciously engage in being compassionate and merciful and kind and loving and tolerant and peaceful, not just people who constantly engage in saying Allah, 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 walk with their beads. Those who are consciously aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those people who are consciously aware of their responsibility to other human beings, to the planet. Those who are consciously aware, who strive to be consciously aware of Allah in the sense of dhikr Allah, are those people who in their prayers don't forget others in need, in their service, think beyond their immediate selves or their immediate families or tribes or nations. Those people will naturally become humble. They'll immediately begin to see the rise and the fall of their nafs amara and be able to suppress it. And I hope that inshallah we all continue to strive to be such people. A companion of the Khalif Umar radiallahu anhu, who saw Umar radiallahu anhu carry a pitcher of water on his shoulder, and he said to him, Ya Umar, what are you doing, O Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Umar said, some envoys have come from other countries, and I felt some arrogance in my own heart, so I wanted to suppress it, and I felt better than the ones who came, because I felt better than the ones who came from out of the country to visit us. And so I decided to carry water, implied to them. He used to carry flour on his back also, bags of flour. Once he even accused himself of giving a chuppah like this, better than this, of course, and he kept silent when people questioned and criticized his actions. Very important then when we're put in positions to see ourselves, that we do see ourselves. Unfortunately, we can't have the hope and the expectation that others will see ourselves seeing ourselves. They'll just see us in our arrogance, or they'll remember us. You know, as I always used to say many years ago, you know, you could change in 6 months, but it'll take at least 6 years or more for somebody to see the change. Abu Huraira carried wood while he was the deputy governor of Medina, and when he was the chief judge in Medina, Zaid ibn Thawab kissed Ibn Abbas's hand, and Ibn Abbas, known as the interpreter of the Quran and Sarah of the Ummah, helped Zaid get on his horse. Hassan, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad radiallahu anhu, alayhi salam, peace be upon them both, sat with some children who were eating breadcrumbs, and he ate those breadcrumbs with them. And once Abu Zahir offended Bilal, the way, in order to obtain his forgiveness, he put his head on the ground and declared, "If the blessed feet of Bilal did not tread on this sinful head, it will not rise from the ground." These are people who are not just humble, these are people whose humility comes from seeing themselves, from self-reflection. Not forced to be humble. And these are examples of humility among the leaders of Islam. No one is exempt from humility because no one is exempt from arrogance. No one is exempt from forgiveness because no one is exempt from repentance and sin. And we have to hold to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about His forgiveness of us and His humiliating and humility toward us, and not depend on other human beings who don't have that firas, that insight. If you remember that the faith of Allah, the blessings of Allah, the spiritual energy of Allah, is what carries us through these difficult times with our own self. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, late Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, emphasized humility so much that one who knows has no doubt that service consists of humility. We read in the Quran one example that I gave of that, but humility and the beauty of humility also can be heard in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "God, Allah, has told me that you must be humble, that no one must boast to another. Shall I inform you of the one whom hellfire will not touch? Hellfire will not touch one who is near to Allah, who is amicable with people, and mild and easy to get along with. Allah exalts one who is humble. That one sees himself as small while he is truly great in the eyes of the people." That's part of hadith. In another hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Oh Allah, make me see myself as small." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that. "Oh Allah, make me see myself as small." So the real glory, exaltation in humility lies not in our own sight, but in the sight of others and in the sight of Allah. But it begins with how we see ourselves. If I'm humble, Allah will notice me. If I'm humble, people will like me. That's not the right approach. We really have to rid ourselves of that dependency on others and keep our dependency on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only way to do that is to go back and to remember Allah in all things and what we have spoken about in when we speak about dhikrullah, remember. But to remember to see the majesty and in this creation and all that we've been given, and to see how much power do we really have and what we don't really have. And how we put ourselves in submission to strangers, to strange things, to consequences that we have no control over, and we resist submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very humble person. He would see children on the road and he would stop and talk to them. He would play with them. He would greet them. If someone took him by the hand and wanted to lead him somewhere, he would just take their hand and he'd walk next to them and by them. And he didn't object to it. He helped his wives with their housework, and when people were working, he liked to work next to them. He mended his shoes. He sewed his own clothing. He milked the sheep. He fed the animals. He sat at the table with his servants. He always welcomed poor people warmly to his home, into his presence, and he looked after widows and he looked after orphans. He visited those who were ill. He followed the funeral processions of those who had passed. He answered the call of the slaves in his community, and this is the type of person that he was and we should be. And all of this because he was aware of something. He was aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present. He's present in your compassion, so he's present in poverty. He's present in love, so he's present in hate. He's present when people reject one another. So when people accept one another and forgive one another, so he's present in repentance. This is the type of person he was. And you can't do those things from the ego. You can't do those things from saying, I was harmed, I was insulted, I was humiliated, I was forgotten, I was. You have to get beyond that. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would want us to be. He was aware of the divine presence. So you can't do these things consistently if you just want praise. There has to be a transformation in the heart and the soul of the individual who would live this way, and that's the journey of life. And if you don't come to the end of your life at least striving hard to overcome those resentments and angers and fears and doubts and arrogance and feelings of whatever they may be, upset, then the life has no meaning, because transformation has to come. And many, 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 many of us go to our graves that way. Many saints, many scholars, many people who are honored with the newness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have had many signs of their witnessing of this way of humility and modesty. But the signs of smallness are sometimes much better. One has to see it as natural. One has to see that at least they could change in certain circumstances. And we have to reflect on these possibilities, the greatness of these possibilities. How do we make this transition in our life? Real humility means that people have to know something about themselves. You have to know the value of your own self before Allah, before the magnificence of Allah. Then we have to make this fully realized potential ingrained in ourselves, an essential part of our nature and action in our relationships with others and with ourselves. Those who have realized their nothingness before Allah are balancing both their spiritual religious life and their relationship with people. And they obey the commandments of the deen. People like that have no objection to the truth. They don't have criticism. They don't have argument with the truth or doubt in the truth, because they don't have any better way of stating it either. They're convinced that what is contained in the Quran and in the authentic traditions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are true. If there's any apparent contradiction between the sources and human reason or the established rational and scientific fact, if it's confronted with an apparent, if a person confronted with apparent contradiction between rationality and what is revealed in the deen of Islam, there's no doubt in their minds that the deen is what is true, and that there's a flaw in their understanding. For all the miraculous wonders and pleasures and sweetness seen in this earth and felt by people are meaningless unless they're based in a teaching of humility and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the followers of the rightly guided members of the family and the followers of the Ahlul Bayt and the followers of the Prophet Muhammad, all strive to be examples. And all the pleasures are momentary, just like the pains last only as long as we may live. And most of them are momentary too. But the goodness and the sweetness and the miracles that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are endless. They lead to an endless peace and endless security and endless understanding, but we have to strive for them in this world. Because this is the world where they're all challenged by our desires and our fears, our confusions, our hopes, our aspirations, our good intentions. You must remember that all things done with good intention are accepted by Allah. Even wrong actions done with good intentions are accepted. Right actions, of course, done with good intentions are accepted. And wrong actions that come out of good intentions because of ignorance, failure, they're accepted. It's only wrong actions that are done with wrong intentions that are condemned. The truth is, humility is something that is just out of the grasp of most of us. We feel we have to protect ourselves. Who else is going to watch over us? Who else is going to protect me in my interest? We have to plan for ourselves. Who else is going to plan for me? We have to promote ourselves. Nobody else is going to promote me or my work or my business. Otherwise, how are we going to gain our status? How are we going to increase our material well-being? How are we going to pay for the food on the table? We have to impress others with our knowledge. We have to impress others with our capabilities. How else can we serve Allah? But that's not the way it really works. The greatest knowledge, the greatest power, the greatest security, the greatest happiness, the greatest success, the greatest fulfillment comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As if you could just sit still and be a good person and it all will come to you. In reality, the one who worships Allah really worships Allah and sees a great difference between adoring and loving Allah and anyone else. In reality, the one who serves Allah sees a great difference in serving Allah and his creatures and creation. It's different than serving anything or anyone else. It doesn't mean that you serve Allah in some abstract form. It means you serve everyone. Fisabilillah. In truth, the one who is educated by Quran, by the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad, by the Seerah of Nabi Muhammad, is potentially educated in every subject because every subject is contained in that book and in those lives. So if you want to be a scientist and you knew Quran, then your knowledge of science would be enhanced. If you want to be an archaeologist or historian, your knowledge of history would be enhanced. Or a philosopher, or a psychologist, or a doctor, or a lawyer, or a judge, or a farmer. The teachings of the Ahl al-Bayt and the Shuyukh and your life in this world and your career will be enhanced. And those who are really humble attribute the fruits of their work and their actions not to themselves, their successes not to themselves, their knowledge not to themselves, not their humility to themselves. They regard the people of honor with honor. They regard being loved by others and trusted and followed by others as a test of their own sincerity or their humility, and they don't display the favors of Allah easily. Because humility is a doorway, and the one of the meanings of the root of the word for humility is doorway. The doorway. And also means to lie down. Even the word in Latin, coming from Latin, means to put to be on the ground. And it is characterized as just and generous and merciful and helpful and forgiving. We recognize what it is. So to be near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to keep those attributes and qualities near to you. Of generosity and mercifulness and helpfulness and forgiveness. Patience and tolerance and love. Forgiveness. A believer is nearest to Allah while prostrating before Him, while recounting the benefits of other Islam, by reading the Quran, by referring to the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by referring to those of knowledge, by trusting in the way they're being guided and taught, and real humility and modesty grows in the hearts of someone who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we can all be better at that. Allahumma unsuna fi naka khayru nasirin wa fasana fi naka khayru fatihin wa kfir lana fi naka khayru ghafirin wa rahamna fi naka khayru rahimin wa zifna fi naka khayru razikin wa adina najna min khalmi zalimin wa hablana rihan tayabatin kama hiya fil ilmika wa anshurna alayna min fazainahi rahmatika wa milna biha hamlana karamati masalamati la afiyati fi dini wa dunya وآخرة إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم يسر لنا أمرنا مهراتي لقلوبنا بأبادنا وسلاماتي بأخياتي في ديننا وديننا ونسألك إيمانا دائما ونسألك قلبا كاشيا ونسألك علما نافيا ونسألك دينا قائما ونسألك أخياتي من كل بلية ونسألك تعمم أخياتي ونسألك دعم العافية ونسألك شكر العافية إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم وفر وجهنا بنور صفاتك وأذنك أذئفنا وبشرنا يوم القيامة بين أوليائك واجعل يدك مبسوطة إلينا وعلى أحسننا ومهانا برحمتك وكن لنا صاحبا في سفرنا وكلفاتا في أهلنا وأقمص على وجه أهلنا ممسكهم على ما قدر همنا يستعين على مدي الله ما جينا علينا يومنا Let's remember those people who are ill from among us and those we know of. May do it for the living and for the sick and for those who have passed. Those who especially remember Khaled's father had another slight stroke this week. Pray that Allah gives him a healing and a longer life and he regains all his faculties and make his way easy. Pray Allah gives us serenity in our hearts and health in our bodies and peace in our minds. Pray for those who love us and who we love and those people in the world who we don't even know but are in need of our prayers. I ask for the well-being of those members of this community, of this ummah, that Allah may give you knowledge that's beneficial and a certainty that will give you freedom and well-being, freedom from affliction, and to make your faces shine with the light of your attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rejoice on the day of resurrection among your friends. Make your hand to be spread over upon us, O Allah, and our families and our children and those who are with us, O Allah, by your mercy. We ask Allah to be our companion in our travels and our guardian in our family and to efface the faces of our enemies and freeze them in their places so they are unable to go or come again. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, namadahu, nastanu, nastakbiru, numinu bihi, wa natawakalu alayhi, wa nashudu ala ilaha illahu wahdu la shariqa, wa nashudu ana muhammadan abdahu rasulah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala al-jamiya manbiya, wa musadina, wa marakati, wa mukarameen, wa aliyallahi salihin, ومجاهدين فائدين برحمتك يا رحمن الرحيمين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب المبين إن لله الملكات يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد اللهم وارد رسالتنا كل أخي الراشدين أبي بحرين وصديقي والمرة وفاق فاروقي وعثمان ذي النورين ولا سيدنا والإمام علي كرم لها واجه وادر اللهم أنا سيدنا الحساني وسيدنا الحسين وأن أمهما سيادتي فاطمة وزهرة وأن علي البيت علي بيت الكرام وأزواج النبيات المطهرات وأمهات المؤمنين وأن صاحبات الصالحين متابعين متابعين وأباد بها مخلصين بإسلامين وإمامين وإحسانين يوم الدين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وذكر الله أكبر وأقم الصلاة.